Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Uncensored. I'm Penny Faree. Good development breathes life into a town, but development without balance, realistic planning, and an honest assessment of what a place can actually handle creates long-term strain that does not go away. This morning, we are examining the square, the proposed controversial six-story development in the center of Balita Village with ground floor retail, 52 service departments, and a rooftop entertainment level. The application's now with the Provincial Environmental Authority, which has less than 3 months to decide if this development will be approved or not. The developer's traffic assessment states that no road upgrades are required, and the same documents, however, acknowledge a parking shortfall of around 40 bays, and those claims sit side by side. The village trades on a particular character. Residents and ratepayers are now asking whether that character can absorb this level of change. I'm joined today by Nick Leach from Sterling Bridge Investments. They are part of the development team for the square. And Brian Pottinger, not an unfamiliar voice on our show. He's representing DOCRA, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association, who have also put a submission forward on this development. Welcome to you both, gentlemen.
Thank you, Penny.
Thank you, Penny.
Now, Nick, I'm going to jump straight into it. You are proposing a six-story development in the center of the Balita Village in an area already under pressure. Now, why this scale in this location?
Thanks, Penny, and thanks for having me. And, Brian, good to be on with you. I think that when we started this process over a year ago, we looked at various uses for the land. And up front, we knew that parking was one of the biggest issues. We looked at apartments, retail, place of worship, all the uses within the existing zoning. And all of them had a higher parking threshold than a boutique hotel has. I think that your apartments might have 2 cars, some nights 5 cars. Boutique hotels often just have an Uber. Second is, in terms of the local community, we were very sensitive to what could we do on the property that had a positive contribution to the local community. And I think it's universally felt that apartments wouldn't, and they technically don't. Boutique hotels have a multiplier effect. I think the stats are 40 cents of every rand spent in the hotel goes into the surrounding restaurants and retail when guests come into a hotel area. So we saw that a hotel would be the best case use for the area and the property.
Okay. And when you looked at the site over a year ago, you purchased it. How long ago was it purchased?
We bought the company that the land was already purchased into. There was a development being planned that was an apartment block of 4 stories above ground. And basically that development wasn't going to go ahead and had failed. And so we took over the company to try and rectify the development.
Okay. Just a moment, please. Someone just said that your mic is not working. I'm going to take that out. Just before you started, did you do due diligence on this? Were you aware that it was going to be a controversial development, and there was going to be a lot of resistance from the public?
Yes, we were aware of that, yeah. And we were very sensitive to that.
Yeah. And how much was the property purchase, the land purchase? Because what you've said is that the current height that is in place, which is the 4 stories, doesn't make it financially viable for the development to go ahead. That's why you need a height relaxation. So in terms of profit, it sounds like, you know, profit is the key driving force behind it. And I know you are, you know, you're a businessman, you're a developer, that obviously is a driving force. What are we looking at? What would a profit margin be on 4 stories instead of 6?
I think that's a critical point. And I think, Penny, in our whole application, I think it's one that requires a lot more context to what we submitted. The history isn't that margin was the primary driver. Obviously, as developers, we look for a return on capital, but when we looked at the use, we started with parking, we then looked at contribution to the area. When we found that boutique hotel was the most positive fit, we approached various operators, one of them Dream Hotels. It's a very well-established family-owned business in South Africa with 40 hotels that they manage. And we engaged them and said, guys, we want to make this concept work. Is this something that you would come on board with and run and bring your value to the area? And they looked at the project and they said to us, look, we're keen to get on board, but the room numbers are too small to make our operation viable. Can you extend the room numbers? It wasn't our internal viability. It was the operator we were trying to attract to the area's viability that required more rooms, and that was the basis. So it wasn't actually the development profit that drove it. It was, what does it take to get the right operator? If we got the wrong operator in, it would probably land as a apartment tile hotel by the wrong operator, which wouldn't serve the purpose.
Yeah, but then don't you think something like that would be good, but not in that particular location? Because, which fundamentally this development is going to change the entire character of Ballito Village. But before we get onto this, Brian, I just want to ask you, you've looked, the application in detail. At its core, what is the single biggest risk this development poses to the Ballito Village?
Penny, thanks very much. And I'd like to preface it by saying, and just but where Doctor's position is, that we're not opposed to development in any shape or form. We understand entirely, and we have said that we support things which are job generative, rates generative, and so on. But we do believe it has to be consonant with the environment into which it's put. So we perfectly understand the economic advantages and benefits of a boutique hotel in Ballito.
Do you think there's another boutique hotel is needed in a village that's already like bursting at the seams?
No, I think if you're looking about a development opportunity on an area like our place, which is it's expanding all the time, there's always a need for boutique hotels, as there are for residential developments, as there are for commercial properties. Yeah. It's very important. But let's get back to the key issue here. What are our concerns about this particular development? We are concerned about the height of the structure. It's a big structure going into a fairly precious envelope. We think more thought is about that. A subsidiary issue about that, and we've raised that in the process, is that we're concerned about the principle that building restrictions and regulations must be tailored to the economic exigencies of the developer. That way you're opening the dikes. So we have a concern on that. So that's the major issue. The second major issue is traffic, Nick has already spoken to.
Yeah.
But we're not happy in this first phase, and I understand we're in a process. We're not happy that full application of mind has been made to the traffic issue.
Yeah, and we're going to definitely discuss that. Nick, if the zoning is relaxed and it goes up to 6, it goes ahead. If that is not allowed, what is next for you? Are you guys going to reassess your development, or are you going to actually adjust it to fit the current requirements in the Ballito Village? Because I know there's been public talk saying that there are 6 stories, it's zoned for 6 stories, but realistically, where is another 6 story in Ballito? I mean, this is your first story and you are setting a precedent for the rest of the developers. And we've seen this in Mshlanga, what happened there? The first precedent was allowed, everything followed. Now we've got a Dubai lookalike, Sandton by the Sea. And this is what everyone is fighting about. There were more than 300 objections. What do you say to those people who objected?
And you've got to ask one question at a time. Hey? I'm
only
a simple developer. So I think that, just to quickly say, the 300-odd objections, as stated, were registered, interested, and affected parties. They weren't necessarily objections. So I think that's quite critical, that the public engagement process is to invite people to be part of the process. So 360 people have opted into being part of the process, which is very healthy.
Did the petition also count as part of the interested and affected parties? There was also a petition that went around. Okay. Yeah.
I think you asked a question earlier, could we do a boutique hotel elsewhere? I think the issue is not where should a boutique hotel go. The real issue is there's a piece of land that will be developed by someone. Will it be developed by someone who cares for the town centre? And will it be developed in a way that protects a sense of place?
Yeah.
And so your second question about if we don't get the 6 stories approved, what will happen? I think that's the critical question. In as much as we've explored and are open to, this engagement is to hear from the community. It is to hear from every participant. It's not a fait accompli.
Yeah.
I think that it would put us in a position where the use would be open-ended to the alternatives, apartment, retail, things that we don't feel serve the community. And I think this discussion is the one that we should be having more broadly as well. What are the alternatives that would serve the community? Because it's not we're not comparing to an undeveloped piece of land. We're developed to what could it be developed into. And in our opinion, having studied it, there isn't a better use case that will be positive for the surrounding properties. If there is one, we're very open to exploring it.
Yeah.
And then just on the sixth story and the Pearls and Umhlanga Sandton story. I think that the Pearls, I don't know how many stories there are, 20 or 40.
They're up to 46.
I would find that quite extreme. I also find what we're doing is bigger than we're comfortable with in terms of what we would have loved to achieve if it was achievable. And so we're certainly not looking at a Pearls.
Maybe another developer will, because that's how the precedent is saying. You can say that because this is your thing. But everyone going forward is going to see you setting the precedent to change the Belita village. Your development is going to be the first to alter the course of how this village is going to look like in 5-6 years to come.
I think it will be the first going to six stories, but the buildings around are approved for six stories.
But no one's built for six stories, that argument.
But they don't require the process we're going through. So they can do it without any public participation. And the precedent was ultimately set when that approval was granted. And so the reality is between now and 20 years, you may get people who don't care for the sense of place developing the buildings behind us, which will then shadow what we're doing. And I think, secondly, the six stories, the way that we've designed it, it's only about 2.2 meters bigger than what we have approved already.
Yeah, even the current structure says it's high risk to changing the in your own documents you said there was a high risk now of changing the place value, the village vibe.
And I think that is perfectly accurate. We think that the impact is something that's critical that we engage on. Yeah. We by no means, and our own documents aren't saying this isn't something to discuss.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the public participation, because it's important that people do approach this and understand it and get the opportunity to engage with us before it goes forward.
Yeah. Brian, can we talk on that and the traffic assessment? Because what we have seen is that there was a parking shortfall of approximately 40 bays. How many bays, are required? And when DOCRA looked at it and put that objection through, how many bays do you think is adequate? Because right now we're already dealing with a village that has a massive traffic issue during our 120 days when, the holiday visitors come into our village.
Yeah, sure. Let me just quickly deal with the technical aspect around the thing, and then I'd like to get to a broader issue, which is about the whole question of planning.
Absolutely.
For that whole envelope, which we are so passionately committed to. On the traffic, we were not happy with the methodology, and that's just an honest dispute with the methodology, which was based on, and I'm no expert, it was based on a traffic supply principle, whereas the practitioner, the environmental practitioner, has conceded that perhaps it would be better to do a demand management system, which looks at how you manage the flow of traffic. How do you manage traffic within a particular area? Now, we think there's a debate about that. And I think that where Nick and DOCRA is in complete agreement is that unless that gets sorted, then there's no option, there's no benefit to either the public or to the business. Who's going to go and book into a boutique hotel where they the parking's like a mess.
Or go visit a restaurant where you just cannot find parking.
So, in that sense, I think that the developers and the objectors and DOCRA and everybody else has a common interest. Let's get to grips with this key problem. And I don't think there's been any dispute from the developer about this importance.
Yeah.
But just if I can move on to something a little bit broader, and what has come out in our engagement is this tragic gap in the fact that the municipality itself does not have a comprehensive, clear view of exactly what it wants to do with that envelope, which is so important to community and to business.
And you're talking about the framework. Is that the Belita framework?
Framework.
Which and they said dates back to 2009. Already.
And you just think of the development on this coast. That's never been updated.
Yeah.
My understanding is that KDM is now, if I may say, caught a wake up, that they are in the process now of actually seeking to recruit the experts that can put this process underway. Yeah. Now, I'm saying, quite apart from the issues around Earth 617 and the square and these debates which are now being openly and honestly engaged, let's focus on the bigger picture And that is where I think that DOCRA would make the appeal. Let's get the developers, let's get the communities, let's get everybody together and try and assist KDM to come to a comprehensive view.
So, but now, why are they even looking at passing developments when there's no framework? It's almost saying, okay, you go ahead, carry on. There's no framework. We will carry on with the building, but then, you know, we will work around it. It's almost like it's, you know, putting the horse before the cart.
Well, if I can just answer that, I think I'm pretty sure that Nick would like to have a word on that as well. Is that the reality of the situation is that there is this vacuum. And so what we're having and what we don't want to have is a series of endless skirmishes with independent projects.
Yeah.
We want an understanding on the basis on which it's
done. It's a standard.
Yeah. Now, the reality is that it's not in place. So what you're basically saying to investors and developers, well, you know, that's it. The whole place stays while we wait for this majestic
process. Well, is
this
not opening up to some sort of legal dispute? I mean, can this not now legally, you know, give ammunition to the community to go ahead and challenge KDM on this framework? Nick, you can come in on that.
You know, I think that, and we're fighting for an old town Belito.
Yeah.
I think a part of an old town Belito is not just about buildings, it's about collaboration, and it's about getting together and solving the problems. My understanding of KDM's position is that they have got a framework developed by IA Designs in 2009. But urban planning is dynamic. And 2009, Belito wasn't Old Town Belito.
No, you're a little seaside
village. And so with this shift, they've proactively gone to appoint an independent body, which will then invite all participation from developers, from community members, to design a comprehensive framework. My understanding is it's from Old Town Belito all the way across to Willard's area as an envelope.
Yeah.
And I think that the opportunity there exists for all of us, and we certainly support that process that's been initiated, is this thing of sense of place. It's not just about the technical challenges of traffic and development compliance. It's also about what are we protecting and getting the community's involvement in that. Mm. And so I think it's a positive opportunity, not a legal one, for everyone to actually come together and say, well, let's participate in designing this framework. And that's why it will include a public participation.
Yeah, but don't you think then your development should be put on hold until there's a broader discussion with the public on how they want this village, you know, to unfold? Because this is not going to just impact us now in 5 years. It's like generational. And no one goes, I know you've dismissed out of hand the Mshlanga village, which has changed. I mean, if you look at the quality of shops now, everyone has moved out there. A shop owner who's been there for 20 years said to me that the prices around have actually decreased, the urban decay that's come through. You cannot say now, you know, they also have marketed that some of them are service departments, boutique. They've also marketed like that. But at the end of the day, it was a cost factor. And they, you know, they compromised the village and the way of life, the Mshlanga way of life, for a profit-driven venture, which we have seen unfold and we have seen history, you know, play its course. And that is what everyone's protecting. This is what the people who objected are saying. There was no proper public participation. You know, there was no genuine alternative to see what actually can that site be used for other than like this big monstrosity that's going to fundamentally change the cafe way of life. Because you've got a construction site for more than a year now, deep excavation. What is that going to do to the surrounding restaurants?
Again, you've got to go at one question at a time, Penny. Yes. I've already forgotten the first one.
It was more of a statement. Okay.
I think your first question is, why don't we wait for the framework?
Yes.
I think that we've identified two core issues in this that we received from yourself, from DOCRA, that we completely agree that they need to be resolved prior to commencement. One is the traffic. Traffic is not a grey area. There's a black and white requirement to make it work. How do we ensure that everyone agrees and aligns that we've resolved the traffic? And that's a process we're busy also dealing with the municipality on. And we're engaging on various fronts to ensure that any answer is comprehensive. The second is this heart of building sense of place.
Yes.
And my view is the heart's a technical ammunition, as you call it. I think the issue is sense of place. And there, I think if we can get the community to engage and we can find a way that there's buy-in on sense of place.
Yeah.
At least.
So would you change your design?
if there was a version that ticked the boxes,
yeah,
we're open and we're engaged.
Yeah, financial version. Are you talking about a financial viable version that ticked the boxes? Because at the end of the day, it's profit. I mean, you still haven't said to me how much that land was bought for.
In terms of the Companies Act, I can't disclose other people's information.
Okay, don't worry, I'll find out.
But I think that, no, I can tell you the cost of land was excessive. It was...
I heard about 20 million. I think they bought
20 million.
They bought that piece of land for 20
now,
million.
If you divide that by the 900 squares and you work out a square meter rate, you're looking at something like 23,000 rand a square meter you've got to find viability on. We didn't take this project on because it was a profitable, attractive one. Yes, there will be a return on capital, but certainly from a complexity, from a sensitivity, and from a capital perspective, it was to rectify something that was going wrong that we got involved. And so I hear you, and yes, we have to get a return. Otherwise, our capital, we're not beholden to deploy our capital. The challenge for Bellito is you've got to find developers who are sensitive, who are willing to invest. Given that area, we've had developers leave that area recently, and it's important that there's a vote of confidence back into that area. And I think the key issue here is not, is development going to happen? Is it happening with developers who are engaged?
And within a framework that, you know, is going to set a precedent for, you know, the community to buy into that. Is that not right?
That's exactly right. And I think there's two issues here. One is the immediate, which is Earth 617, which is the Square Hotel. And that's being dealt with in this process. The other is the much longer term. And that's a big issue. Because remember, let's not forget that there are a number of buildings in Bellito which can be considered fairly old.
Yeah, we know that.
Every one of those sites is subjected to development with an existing compliance requirements, which will completely change the face anyway.
Yeah, and I know we are running out of time. Nick, I'm going to give you one final, say, and I'll stick to the one question. So if this framework continues as it is, you know, and it goes ahead, do you feel that your development will change Bellito as it is right now?
We believe that a boutique hotel, as we've designed it, improves the precinct. We believe that any alternative use will change it for the negative. So change is coming. It's whether it's positive or negative. Yeah. We believe our one will change it for the positive, but we're also open to input.
Okay. And Brian, what is DOCRA fighting for?
Well, you know, in general terms,
we're trying to protect.
What we're fighting for, which we always try to seek to fight for, is for the interest of the residents of this area. And in terms of this specific project, we are appealing to the developer to see if we can find that compromise between both the economic imperative. Let's not kid ourselves. No one's going to put millions into a project if they don't get a return. That's charity.
We already established
that's not business. That's charity. You know, that's not going to happen. We need to get that balance between what is an appropriate structure and what makes the broad number of the community satisfied. We won't satisfy everybody, and that's not possible. But we need to really knuckle down on the existing phase of this process, get agreement around that if we can, and then see if we move it forward.
Yeah, and you know what? This is definitely the start of one of many conversations, because obviously we're going to be following the process and see what comes out of it. And the application is now before the provincial department authorities. A decision is expected within the next 3 months. And it's not simply about whether development should happen. It's about scale, process, and consequences. And the outcome will not just shape the site. I think it's going to shape the future of the Bellito precinct as we see it now. Thank you, Nick, for joining us. You were forthright with your answers. And Brian, we will continue with our conversation at a later stage.
Thanks, Penny.
Thank you, Penny.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324777. Your safety is their priority.